The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God.
Well, it's great to be with you on this special occasion of the farewell to the Webbs, and I'm pleased that I'm able to be here. And it may appear at first glance that what I'm about to share is redundant, superfluous, unnecessary, because you're so heavily into service with all that list of activities that you're doing. However, I'm not here to speak about service, even though that's the topic. Title. I'm here to speak about worship. Worship through service, and I wanted to share that with you today. I thought I would start by inviting Alan to come here. Alan Webb and Val they've had a lifetime of service. But I just asked Alan as we were singing here this morning if he would just share the way in which he and Val, but he himself personally, has understood that his service that he has provided for so many people, including this church congregation, how for him that is his act of worship to God. So, Alan, if you wouldn't mind just sharing with us for a few minutes, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Boyce. I'm very unprepared for this. When I was a teenager, sport was my all-consuming passion. My greatest desire was to be a cricketer who would one day represent Australia. And so all of my teenage years were devoted to fulfilling that goal. Then, when I was in my very late teens, I heard a sermon which said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And God spoke to my heart through that verse. And I realized, yes, even if I may play for Australia one day, that was a very remote possibility, but even if I may, so what? And there and then I committed my life to serving God. And for 53 years, Val and I have been privileged to serve God in various ways, in various capacities. I would say that there is no greater joy than to see the people in whose lives we have invested serving God. There's a verse in 3 John that says, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth." We believe that this is our way of worshiping God, expressing to God our love, our thanksgiving for what God has done for us, so that we can open our home, open our hearts, open our lives, and invest in the lives of those that God brings across our path. Paul said in Acts 20, "I do not consider my life to be worth anything if only I may finish the race and complete the task. The Lord Jesus has given me the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. That is our desire, that is our prayer, that we may finish the race, complete the task. And that is the worship that we seek to offer to God by serving Him wholeheartedly.
Well, the sermon this morning was very short, wasn't it? So I'll now add the postscript. But I won't take it too long because I'm sure that you're waiting for this special dinner, this special luncheon that you're having together. I'm sorry I can't be there because of another commitment, but it's great that I'm able to be here with you. And what Alan said is the summation of what I was going to share in terms of serving is our act of worship. This passage of Scripture is a passage which teaches us many lessons. The first verse of the passage that was read, which is verse 7, teaches us the first lesson. The end of all things is near. Did you know that in the first century after Christ, the people thought Christ was returning tomorrow or later that day? And then the next century, you can understand what Christians believed, that Christ might return that week, that year. That happened in the 3rd through to the 21st century. And the message hasn't changed, because the end of all things is near. You see, it's probable that most people in this room will live to be 70 or more years of age. As a member of the Australian community, most females will live to be about 77, 78 on average. Most males, 75, 76. Some will live longer, others will live shorter. But the end for you of your life here on earth is near. Many of you are aware that our son Matthew died when he was 21, the same age as quite a number of people here today. He was a devoted follower of Christ, and he lived life and went to heaven because of one thing and one thing only. We read in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 that all that counts with God is faith, expressing itself through love. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 23 we read, "This is God's command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us to do." So, my son, my firstborn, Matthew, he's in heaven. Because when he committed his life to Christ as a young boy, the life of God came into his soul. The book by Schugel in the 1700s, called The Life of God in the Soul of Man, is an explanation of Romans chapter 8, which tells us that if we belong to Christ, we have God's Spirit in us. And if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we don't belong to Him. We don't have Him in our lives. So I'm here today speaking with a group of people, most of all, if not all, are Christian believers. And today I wish to challenge you and me about serving, because we do not know how long we have to live, but we know that God gives us this moment in time, this hour, this day, to serve as an act of worship. The second verse of those that were read, which is verse 8, says, "Above all things," after being clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray, "above all, love each other deeply," because love covers a multitude of sins. Love deeply. Now, as we've been going through the service today, love has been a strong component of the admonitions, the challenges of the songs and in the prayers. I've just come from another church service where I was speaking about God's Spirit in our lives and about the need to love one another. Why should Christians love each other? We're all different. We have different backgrounds, different experiences. We live in different communities. Why should we love each other? And I'm speaking first of all about you here in this congregation, but your brothers and sisters in the Christian faith anywhere in the world, where they speak the same language as you, have vastly different experiences from you or not. The reason is simple. A Christian believer, male or female, age is not a factor. A Christian believer has God's Spirit in them. And therefore you are entrusted as a member of God's family with loving the other members of the family. So some of the family of God we find it easier to love than others. But that's a natural problem. From God's perspective, we are to love all our brothers and sisters with unconditional love. Therefore, we will serve them in their needs. We will serve them as an act of worship to God. The main verses of the passage that I wanted to read, and I know them well, so I'll quote them rather than reading them, are verses 10 and 11, and I want to concentrate on those in a moment. Since I've been with you the last time, I've done a fair amount of travel. Since I was with you, I have spoken at a conference in Poland and at meetings in Germany and Finland, as well as in Singapore on the way and Hong Kong on the way back. I've just come back a week or so ago from Central America, from Costa Rica, Guatemala and Honduras, speaking at a major conference there over a 10-day period and visiting schools and other places. A few Sundays ago I was at a church in Costa Rica, a church of maybe 2,000 members. It was a wonderful service in Spanish, but we had these strange things on our ears. We had simultaneous translation, which was wonderful. But I knew in my spirit that this was God's family, the family of God to which I am a member, in a different language, in a different location, which I had never visited before, and God was there. 3 weeks earlier, I was in Vanuatu on the island of Tanna, speaking at a church on the grace of God. And that was in a village, remote, mountainous village in Vanuatu, near the most active volcano in the world. So I've had that privilege, those privileges. Next weekend I'm in China, in Guangzhou, speaking at a university with all the faculty, one of the strongest universities in China, and also speaking at 2 schools. And I will have the privilege for 3 days to share the truth that God has given to me, revealed to me by his word and through his spirit. So I've had lots of opportunities, and God has opened doors of opportunity for me to share the faith. Now, I want you to ask yourself, how can you serve as an act of worship? Alan Webb has come amongst you, and he and his wife Val have loved you. Not because you're lovable, even though you are. He actually came to serve here to worship God. Because God said, love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave, sacrificially and generously, his one and only Son, so that we would be saved, have eternal life. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, as God so loved us, like it says in John 3:16, then you ought to love one another. So God so loved us so that we should so much love each other. In John's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 35, we read that the whole world will know that you're my disciples, my followers, Christ's people, because you love each other. So to love one another as a church congregation is very important. Now, I'm blessed to be here today because of Alan and Val's last day, because I can speak about them and not get into trouble from them, because I'll skip out straight after I'm finished. But they have been amongst you and you've seen God's love in their lives. I've watched them. They had developed very quickly a lovely relationship with so many of you. And the second prayer of today in the prayer time expressed deep thankfulness to God for their example and their love for you and the fact that you have come to love them. Why did you do that? Why do you love them? There might be others coming to your congregation, might be here for months, years, and you wouldn't have the same love as you've had for the Webbs. What is it about them that has been so attractive to you? It's been their love of God, first and foremost, and then their love of you. And that's because of God's love to them, which they've given as an expression of love to you. So you've had a great privilege. You have had an example of what we're talking about today. People who worship God and then in that worship serve you so that you have been blessed. Some of you will come to the conclusion today or in the next weeks. Some of you will not come to the conclusion perhaps for months or years. But you will look back and you will remember what the Webbs did in service in this church and in your life, directly and indirectly, by which you have come to know God better and to learn how to serve more fully. So you will be able to thank God for the Webbs being here with you. That will help you to pray for them as you understand that they are in God's will on the journey God has planned for them, and he's taking them further north in this state so that they can serve there as their continuing act of worship. So they've been great examples to you, and I thank God for them as I've seen the ways in which they have built up this church. They are not the only ones. This young couple over here, I think they're young. Some of you think they're a bit older, but I see them as quite young. And I see myself as quite young too, by the way, just in case you're wondering if I had a problem with observational skills. John and Jean are a great blessing to you because they serve here as an act of worship. But I'm not just going to single them out. There are many in this congregation and they're not all older adults. Some of you are still teenagers and you are an example of serving others as an act of worship to God. And if you learn that lesson early in your life, you'll grow stronger through it. But the two verses of particular note, as I said, and I will quote them with you today. Verse 10 is an astounding verse to me. I've spoken about it once before here, some time ago. Each one, so you cannot say it doesn't mean me. It says each one, so you are not excluded or exempt. Each one should use whatever gift received from God to serve others. You have been given your gifts to serve others. And in doing that, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That means using the different gifts you have from others to serve in different ways from others, to show the grace of God. So this is an astounding verse of Scripture. For me, it's a verse I think you could speak on in churches like this for 12 months without any problem. Each one, you are included, should use or exercise whatever gift you've received from God. Now, what are those gifts? The gifts of singing, yes. Lovely gift of music, yes. Of helping, yes. Of encouraging, yes. The gift of health, the gift of breath, the gift of energy, the gift of resources, the gift of opportunities. All of these gifts are from God by His grace. Now, I had two young ladies, one on either side of me, as we started this service today. And when I asked them how they were going and things like that, they both said the same thing. It must be sort of the mantra of this church. Doing very well, thank you, by God's grace. The other one, well, thank you, by God's grace. So this concept of God's grace is very strong in this church. So maybe you've heard a lot of teaching on it. Maybe you've embarked upon this as your life pattern. I encourage you in that. For me, the greatest theme of God's revelation to us, Almighty God, Creator, Sustainer of all things, Lord of all the earth, Judge of all people, His greatest revelation to us is His grace. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 it says, "For the grace of God which brings salvation has appeared to all people." Simple language, Jesus came. The grace of God has come. But here in verse 10 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter we read, we are to use our gifts to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You are included, remember. You are to faithfully administer God's grace with the gifts He's given to you by using them to serve others. Wow, what a responsibility and privilege has been given to you. You are a sinful human being, created in sin. You have sin in your being. It's the human condition in the natural state. And we all live in the natural state, even though we're redeemed. You have been given the utmost privilege to be a co-worker with Christ, to shower the grace of God on others through serving them with the gifts you've been given. You are so blessed, and you should be so thankful. The next verse goes on to say, if anyone speaks, that person should do so as if saying the very words of God. Now, it was also alluded to in the preliminaries today that this church teaches so much truth. You are so blessed. Not every church has the quality of teaching that you have here Sunday by Sunday. Because the people hold dearly, those who teach, hold dearly to this book as God's truth for all generations at all times. So you are blessed to be part of Livingstone Evangelical Free Church of Australia here at Thompson's Corner. You have the truth in abundance. You will learn more of the truth as you grow, as you study, as you exercise your gifts, as you see the example of others in their lives. You'll grow in the truth. When the Christ came to the earth as the babe, as Emmanuel, God with us, we read in John chapter 1 and verse 14 that the Word who is God became human flesh and He lived for a while among us. And in Him we saw the glory of God, full of grace and truth. Full of truth. Jesus is our example. He is truth. He said in John 14 verse 6, I, Jesus, am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to God the Father except through me. And so you and I have the extraordinary witness of God the Son showing us and teaching us God's truth. Now, All Truth is God's Truth is the name of a book. The Pattern of God's Truth is another book. Truth Unchanged, Unchanging is another book that people have written. That one was by Martin Lloyd-Jones. These people have understood, as your church leaders and your teachers understand, that all truth is God's truth and that Jesus displayed the truth that is God in His person, both example and instruction. So you are blessed to have the truth taught to you. Whenever you speak, you should speak as if you're saying the very words of God. How can you do that? It's a good idea. It might be an ideal that you have. How do you practice it? I suggest that you learn the scriptures so that when you speak words, you're actually using biblical truth. At least the concept that is there, if not the actual words themselves. It's easier perhaps for us to speak the words directly from the scriptures. Some of you, most of you have heard me speak about my greatest teacher, my Nana, little lady called Sarah, who stood so high, who never went to school after the age of 7 because she broke her back and lived with that break all her life. Whenever she spoke, the Bible was just pouring off her lips. How did that happen for such an uneducated person? She studied and read and read and studied the Bible so that it made her mind up. It was that which concentrated in her thinking and in her memory. So whenever she spoke, the words of the Bible were flowing out of her lips. That's why she taught me so much and so well. The second part of that verse says, if anyone serves, and that's the theme of our consideration today, if anyone serves, that person should do so with the strength that God provides. And I shared once at least with you before the story about my Nana, Sarah, this little old lady. When she cooked a meal, I was a teenager at the time, I recall it well. She cooked the meal and had this odours of this beautiful meal cooking and we were hungry. And then before she asked her husband, our pa, to pray for the meal, to give thanks for it as an act of saying grace in that context, my Nana would say, before pa prays, I'd like to say something. We knew exactly what she was going to say because she said it every time. But she wanted us to remember and learn. And it took me years before I understood it. She said, I want to thank God for the strength he gave me to prepare this meal today. Simple words, but actually so powerful to me when I realised that she was quoting 1 Peter 4 and 11. Whenever you serve, you should do so with the strength that God provides. And you should not take to yourself the honour, the respect of people, the thankfulness of people. You should pass it on to God by saying it's his grace, it's his strength, it's his power that allowed me to do this. It's his strength that gives me the capacity to love people who hurt me, to forgive them, to be compassionate and kind and merciful. It's God in us that works through us to allow that to happen. But then the key to the verse is actually the last half of the verse. Remember, it says that if anyone speaks, that person should do so as if saying the very words of God. If anyone serves, that person should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God will be praised. So we serve others, including our brothers and sisters in the faith, in a congregation such as this, so that God will be praised. That's our purpose. Our purpose is not to be thanked. Our purpose is not to be appreciated. On the other hand, as a recipient of kindness and compassion and love, we should be thankful. But the person giving the love can't require thankfulness from the person receiving it. So the person giving it gives it as an act of grace. The recipient can say, thank you so much. And then you should say, I appreciate that, but I'd like to point you to God. He gave me the strength to do it. He gave me the wisdom to do it. He gave me the love to do it. He gave me the grace to do it. And then it goes on and concludes the verse with the next sentence. To him be the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's our act of worship, as the early church fathers understood it by the end of the first century. The end of being a human being, the purpose of being a human being, why you were created, as a human being is to glorify God, worship Him, and enjoy Him forever. Both here on this planet Earth, in the sinful state in which we live with so many other sinners, many of them saved by God's grace and others still needing that, we are to enjoy God here. We're to give glory and power to Him. That's our act of worship. So as you have this lunch here this afternoon, might I encourage you to be thankful to God that you can worship Him, even over the meal as you fellowship together. It will be an opportunity of thankfulness to the Webbs and of fellowship with each other, but effectively you are worshipping God through this time together. Now, I could spend a lot of time, and I'm not going to because I know of your hunger pains and all the rest of it. I could tell you lots of little incidents, but I'll just throw out this challenge. In the everyday, ordinary things of life, like the opportunity to listen to somebody who has a struggle or a trouble, that listening is an act of worship because you're doing God's work with God's strength. If you can share financially, if you can share with encouragement, if you can share by giving a bit of your time and your resources to bless another, doing that for you, if you follow what I've taught today, that is an act of worship, each one of those things. We tend to bypass that and think, oh, that's just an act of kindness, that's just an act of generosity. If it is done from a motivated heart of acknowledging God's grace and administering God's grace, it is first of all an act of worship. So in the everyday matters of your lives, you are worshipping God when you serve other people. It's my privilege to come to this church. I really appreciate this congregation. I notice it's getting bigger, and that's partly, it's all to do with God, but through the instruments of people like the pastors here and especially also the Webbs in their care of this congregation. So thank God for them, but most of all thank God that He's been with you through them. I'd like to pray. Father God, we acknowledge your presence with us and we are so thankful. We thank you, Father, for our Lord Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit indwelling each one of those who believe in Jesus. We thank you that we're all of the one family. And we pray that as this church commends Alan and Val to the next stage of their journey of faith and commitment and service, that they would be thankful for the lessons learned about worshipping you, serving others, bringing glory to your name. And I pray that everyone of this congregation will grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus and therefore follow his example as the one who said to us that he did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Help us to follow his example, to be imitators of God as dear children and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself as an offering and sacrifice to God. May we learn these lessons, may we practice them, and may we grow closer to you. We ask this in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus. Amen.